This is Northwest Reports. I'm Maliha Sayed. In case you missed last week's episode, this is the show that used to be called Crosscut Reports. The Crosscut Newsroom has changed its name to Cascade PBS, so we made a change too. But the show and the rest of our newsroom's coverage will stay the same. Today, we're talking about the relaunch of The Black Lens, a Spokane-based newspaper dedicated to the region's Black communities. The Black Lens has been around since 2015, when founder Sandy Williams began publishing the monthly newspaper in service of Black community members. Things came to a halt in September 2022, when Williams died in a float plane crash, leaving the future of the newspaper, which had already been on hiatus for months, uncertain. In this episode, we speak with Mai Huang, who reported on the return of The Black Lens in February, about what it was like for readers to lose the publication, the effort to bring it back into circulation, and how people remember Sandy Williams. I really wanted to interview you when I heard that you were writing this story because I covered the death of Sandy Williams, who was the founder and publisher of The Black Lens, back in September 2022. And at that time, the future of the paper was really an open question. And to start, what has the last year and a half or so looked like for The Black Lens?
Yeah, I think it's important to note some context. Even when I reported it, I think a lot of people didn't realize that The Black Lens had already been on hiatus at the time of her death. I want to say about 9 months earlier, so in January of 2022. It's actually very harrowing to read her editorial. That was the last issue of The Black Lens, and that's literally the last writing, major writing we saw from Sandy Williams, was this editorial announcing that she was going to be on hiatus. So the Black Lens was on a planned hiatus for 1 year. Sandy, you know, is a community organizer, activist, so she was involved in a lot of things. And, you know, if you read her editorial, she explains like, hey, I'm working on these other projects. So when she died, the paper was already in hiatus, which kind of added to the uncertainty because the idea was that she was going to come back to it in a year. And that obviously wasn't going to happen now.
Right. And I remember when I reported on it at the time, originally it was going to come back. It sounded like January 2023. And then Sandy Williams dies. And now there's this really open question. And what was it like having it gone for so long? And how did that affect the community in Spokane and beyond?
Yeah, I think the main impact was just the lack of visibility. The Black Lens really provided visibility of Spokane's Black community. And just to give some context, Spokane's Black community is not huge. It's about 2% of the city's population. So not a huge population. However, they were a very like tight-knit group of people that I think desired to like engage as a community. And the Black Lens really enabled kind of that organization of that community. And it really provided visibility to like Black-owned businesses. It provided visibility for Black residents and their achievements, and also provided a platform for members of the Black community to write, you know, editorials or articles or, you know, share their experiences being a Black resident in the Spokane region. So not having the Black Lens really removed a key platform for the community.
Right. And one of the topics that had come up when I was reporting on this, it wasn't just about the fact that Spokane lost this really prolific figure, but the Black Lens is one of a very small group of Black media outlets in Washington, especially in Eastern Washington. Have things changed on that front in the last year and a half? Have we seen more Black media outlets come up?
No, not really. I mean, I think what made it significant that it was revived is the fact that there really was not a publication, because I think your article mentions this, that it wasn't only Spokane residents reading it. It was people from the Tri-Cities and other communities in Eastern Washington, because there was no other Black publication for Eastern Washington Black residents. And actually, Malia, you can speak to this also. It's just been a very challenging couple years for ethnic media in general. I know you wrote another article about the two Asian American publications in Seattle, the Seattle Chinese Washington Post and Northwest Asian Weekly, they had to make huge changes because they were also kind of dealing with challenges with revenue and, you know, a lot of the typical stuff that ethnic media faces. And I think another thing with ethnic media in general is just that these tend to be like homegrown publications and it's run by one or two people that are really passionate. I mean, definitely with the Black Lens with Sandy and definitely with other ethnic media publications, there's one or two people that kind of, you know, run the publication. They put their heart into it. And it's just really challenging to kind of scale up or sustain it when it's when you're dependent on a handful of people to keep your publication afloat.
Right. And that's what I think is so interesting, because I think in general, a lot of media outlets, bigger newspapers, bigger publications have made some concerted efforts to, you know, bring on reporters or hire people to specifically focus on different communities, including Black communities. And I'd be curious to know, you know, in your reporting, are you able to kind of identify the distinction between having a dedicated reporter on staff who's covering Black communities but fits into this larger publication versus something like the Black Lens, which is entirely dedicated to covering Black communities, featuring Black writers? What makes something like the Black Lens different in that way?
Yeah, I think it comes down to kind of the mission. So it's not to say that a larger publication that has, let's say, a race and equity reporter or a communities reporter, like what you used to do at our publication, is invaluable. That is a very important position. But I think what makes the Black Lens different is two things. Number one, you know, Sandy Williams started the Black Lens because she felt that there was a lack of perspective of the Black community in news. She wanted a consistent and visible source of news that its first mission was to report on the news from the Black perspective. And I think the other aspect of it was the idea that the Black Lens wanted to be news about the Black community by the Black community. So it's not just merely covering the Black community, but also, again, that organizational aspect, that bringing the Black community together. So involving members of the Black community in the publication at all levels.
And fast forward to today, did the Black Lens relaunch during Black History Month in February?
It did.
Was that intentional?
Yes, it was. It was very, yes. They definitely timed it. You know, and if you look at the first issue, it's about Black joy. Like, again, Lisa Gardner is actually featured in this first issue. We were just talking about her because she just stepped up as the new president of the Spokane NAACP. So she's in the front page of this new issue. If you read this first issue, it came out in early February. It revolves around Black joy, revolves around highlighting achievements in culture and the arts. It's highlighting arts by local high school students, for example. And that was very intentional. Interim editor Natasha Hill talked about, like, they do want to talk about the hard topics, you know, things like police brutality on the community or like white supremacy's impact on the Black. Like, those are very important issues. But Natasha felt that for the relaunch, it was very important to kind of, you know, highlight that Black joy, you know, kind of that, hey, we're here, we're achieving things, we're doing great things, and not just, you know, jump right into the hard stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And who was involved in that effort to revive the publication?
Yeah, so there was like a couple folks. I know that in your last story, you interviewed Rob Curley, who's the executive editor of the Spokesman Review. Him and Sandy Williams have been friends for a while. And in fact, they had been starting to work together already prior to her death. So during the Black Lives Matter protests back in 2020, you know, Curley had reached out to Williams and started running like stories from the Black Lens in the Spokesman Review. So they had already had like a collaborative relationship. They were friends also, but they were starting kind of this professional collaboration. And so another thing that they had already started working on is that they had worked together on securing funding for a you know, race and equity reporter who would actually write for both publications, right? For the Spokesman Review and the Black Lens. And so there was already kind of that spirit of collaboration already. And so, you know, when Sandy passed away, one of the first things Rob Curley did, I think he famously said in like her funeral,
I said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, let me tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to let the Black Lens die. So...
Not too long after, he approached Sandy's family and said, hey, are you interested in relaunching it? And I have a model. And I think what's significant is that Curley did not just want to merely revive it, you know, not just bring it back to like kind of what it was before Sandy died, but he really wanted to form a kind of a model that would sustain it in the long term. He had been working on like a community journalism kind of group called Comma. And kind of the aim of this group is to provide resources and support for community-backed journalism. So the Black Lens would be is still like its own nonprofit. But then Comma is kind of like another nonprofit that would kind of provide backing. So the aim of Comma is to raise funds and kind of provide the resources for community-backed journalism, such as the Black Lens. So, you know, they had already had the effort of getting money for this race and equity reporter. They also secured funding for an editor, and now they're working on getting a third position for the Black Lens. I think it's important to note that part of the reason that Sandy went on hiatus with the Black Lens is that she pretty much bore most of the work to get the Black Lens out there. I mean, she was very involved from editing and then, you know, handing out the publication to those dropout sites. Like, she loved doing that. I mean, that was something that was important for her to do. So it wasn't like a burden to her. But the fact is that, you know, there's only so many hours in a day. So the idea of an organization like Comma is to help the Black Lens kind of form a model where it can sustain itself in the long term, and it's not all on one person. So for this initial launch, the Spokesman Review journalists, they're not doing this as like the publication, they're doing it as individual journalists. So Rob Curley is doing this as himself. He's not doing it as the executive editor of the Spokesman Review. They kind of stepped up. They helped with editing. They helped with copy editing. They helped with kind of the design, you know, that initial effort. And then the Spokesman is serving as a distribution outlet for the Black Lens. So again, there's kind of this backing of community, you know, so it's not just one person trying to get this publication out. So another way they're trying to get more people involved is by holding these monthly contributor workshops. It's an opportunity for members of the Black community to come in and pitch ideas for the next issue of the Black Lens. And there are also journalists from the Spokesman Review and the community coming in to provide tips on reporting and writing and other aspects of journalism. It's been really popular, according to Natasha Hill, the interim editor. She said that they had a great turnout for the last couple of contributor workshops. So it seems like it's a great way to get people involved and be part of the Black Lens.
Right. And who's at the helm of it right now? It sounds like there's an interim editor. Is that going to change in the near future?
Yeah. So Natasha Hill, I mentioned her earlier, is the interim editor. And a lot of people know Natasha because she ran for Congress. And so, you know, she isn't a journalist. Her experience has been in community organization. But with a publication that is community backed, is driven by the community, that skill is very important in relaunching something like the Black Lens. And so they tapped her in as the interim editor to kind of do the groundwork and like getting the community engaged, get the community backing on the publication. And so eventually the plan is to hire, an editor that has journalism experience long term. I think Natasha is going to still be involved. I think she's very invested in this publication. And she said that she plans on being involved maybe as a board member, you know, in some other role. But right now, yeah, I mean, she's really taken on the role of kind of launching the pair. And, you know, she's written stories. So, I mean, she's kind of had like a bit of a crash course in journalism through relaunching this publication.
And you had mentioned that first publication came out in February and it was centering in large part Black joy. And I'd just be curious, what was the return like? How did people receive and celebrate it?
I think it got a lot of support. I mean, even leading up to the publication, I think one of the key developments leading up to the relaunch was No Lie Brew House. It's a brewery in Spokane. They put up a $10,000 donation and they challenged other businesses to donate and back the Black lens. You know, No Lie's owners are not Black, but they felt like it was an institution that had to come back to Spokane, and they're a pretty community-oriented business, so you know, they wanted to show their support and show that this was a priority to bring back this community institution to Spokane. So there was a lot of businesses that supported. Again, the spokesman's current and past journalist, you know, helped out with the publication. And yeah, I mean, you know, they had a big launch party. Senator Marie Cantwell was there and kind of voiced support for the publication. Yeah, so there was a lot of people that were delighted for its return and realize its value to the community.
And for people who do want to read The Black Lens, how can they find it and how often can they expect to be able to read it?
So if you live in Spokane and you subscribe to The Spokesman Review, The Spokesman Review will have it inside their Sunday publication once a month. They also have distribution points at various Black-owned businesses and Black churches. And then you can also go online. BlackLensNews.com is the website. You can read stories online, and then they also have back issues, so you can read kind of you can look at the print version as like a PDF.
Celebration in Spokane. The Black Lens is back.
The Black Lens is another testament that in Spokane, we all belong.
Friday, local. What does this paper mean to the community, to the Black community, to Spokane and beyond? What does it mean to people who read it?
Again, I think it provides visibility. It provides organization. You know, it's pretty easy to kind of organize the Black community because of unfortunate policies like redlining. Spokane's Black community was kind of segregated to, you know, certain neighborhoods. So they were all kind of within one neighborhood and, you know, geographically could organize. But now they're living in other parts of Spokane. And again, you know, this publication has attracted other residents in Eastern Washington. And so now that they're geographically spread, now the publication plays a organization role for a much more geographically dispersed Black community. You know, I think there's this perception that ethnic media is only successful if you have like a massive number of people in a community. And I think the Black Lens shows the value of those publications, even if you don't have like 50% Black people in, you know, in your community. And so, again, it's important for visibility. It's important for community organizing. And so I think, you know, the Black community has really rallied around it. And it's something that they can kind of, you know, they can bond with each other over. You know, for the businesses, it was just, again, another place where they can highlight their business and invite people to visit their business. And so it was it's always a key source before. And I think it will be a key source going forward.
I came to the story and to learn about the Black Lens because of Sandy Williams and unfortunately because of her death. And in your reporting on this, how do you find people remember Sandy Williams? How do they honor her legacy and what do they remember about her?
I think they remember her for like visible presence in the community. She just had her hand in so many key things in the Black community. You know, she was a community organizer, so she was kind of visible to the Black community. I think her daughter, Renika Williams, said it really well. I have a quote that I wanted to read from my article, which she says, "It's incredible to watch the community rally around this paper and demand that their voices continue to be heard. It's even more impressive, the people who rallied around the paper to help bring it back. I think my mom would be so proud to see the paper continuing on without her." I think that says so much. I think the fact that Sandy's passion was so apparent and that she had really built this product from the ground up to a level where people wanted it to come back. I think that says so much about her legacy.
Thanks for listening to Northwest Reports. This episode was reported by Mai Huang. It was produced by me, Maliha Sayed, and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. The story editor was Ryan Famuliner. Our executive producer is Sarah Menzies. You can subscribe to Northwest Reports wherever you listen. And whatever platform you're listening on, please review us. We'd love to know what you think of the show. Also, if you would like to support the work we do at Cascade PBS, whether it's our lineup of podcasts, the video docuseries we stream every week, or the in-depth reporting we deliver every day, go to crosscut.com/membership. In addition to supporting our journalism, members receive complete access to the on-demand programming of Cascade PBS. For the latest political, environmental, and culture news from the Pacific Northwest, visit crosscut.com. That's also where you'll find a text version of the story we discussed today. Northwest Reports is a product of Cascade PBS. I'm Maliha Sayed. We'll be back soon with another episode.